Today our reading is from Luke 17, 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, and they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except the foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your own way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, thank you, Sue. Well, in our scripture this morning from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is on his way. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And this is a very foreboding thought, because on his way to Jerusalem, you all know what happens there. He was crucified, put into a tomb, and was, you know, resurrected. But it was a long journey that he traveled all across the area. But what Jesus did this time is he cut through an area that he shouldn't have been in. A good, faithful Jew would not have cut through this land called Samaria, which was a no man's land, though it was home, as we talked about a few moments ago. It was home to many. It was not a place where you would want to have gone if you were a faithful person. Faithful Jews, if they were going to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, would have crossed a river, gone through another area, and they would have crossed the river again. They would have gone through great lengths not to go through Samaria. Jesus took the shortcut. He went through Samaria. Jesus the rebel went through Samaria, and while he was there, he was met by a lot of people. There was a lot of healings that were there, and this time in particular, he was met by 10 people who were in desperate need of healing. Y'all heard of leprosy in the Bible. This isn't exactly what we call leprosy today. Whatever it was a terrible skin disease that isolated people. They went through great agony, and they were really pushed on the outskirts of town. Really, Samaria was a no man's land for people who were outcasts, and that's where Jesus cut through there. Well, they were isolated, and in verse 13, they came to Jesus, and they begged him. They said, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Please heal us." And when he noticed them, he instantly told them, "Go show yourself to the priests." That was the way they were going to prove that they had been healed. The priests were the ultimate authority in Jesus' day. Well, surely they were made clean. Well, 9 of them presumably were so joyful that they went off about their life. They were so happy. They went to the priest. They did as they should. They were probably happy. But as the story goes, only one person, a Samaritan, came back to Jesus and praised him and was leaping and praising and thanking him for it. Luke points out that this was a Samaritan, which is noteworthy, because Luke's original audience would have known that there was a big dispute between Samaritans and the Jews that was centuries old. Centuries before this, they had all been one people, but there was hostilities developed between scripture and worship and all of these things that was longstanding, and probably a lot of people didn't even realize why there was even a disagreement. But it was longstanding, and yet Jesus, passed through that area. By the time of Jesus, the healing, the hostilities were so strong that the Jewish people, like I said, would avoid that region of Samaria. They would not be caught dead there. Well, Luke's first century Christian audience would have been shocked that this one obedient person, the one who came back to Jesus, was not a faithful Jew, but was a Samaritan, somebody that was supposed to be known as a rebel, an outcast, or as it says in our scripture, a foreigner. Well, the one person that did return, Jesus said, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of opportunity to know what happened at the end of this story. We can hope that all 10 who were healed were welcomed back into society. They were embraced by their families, and you can imagine the joy and the elation that they felt when they were healed, not only physically, but they were restored to society. Imagine this one person's elation at being perfectly and what I would call holistically restored, not just physically, but emotionally as well. This scripture encourages us to consider the ways that Jesus reaches each one of us, providing all of us, Jew or Gentile, Samaritan, and the like, in whatever home we find ourselves. Jesus brings us healing, at times physical, at times spiritual, emotional, in all of these ways, and it's a reminder for us to give praise and thanksgiving to God who is at work in our lives and in our community, and, well, to be more like that one Samaritan, that foreigner, who put his thanksgiving into action. Now, Scripture is full of places where there is thanksgiving. No less, the first time that there was praise and thanksgiving was after God created the universe, and he stopped on the seventh day and said, this looks pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it. It's perfect. It's just the way I had dreamed of. God was happy and praised. Well, if you read through all the Psalms, there's lots of praise and thanksgiving. There's also lament and sadness and grief. There's anger at God. There's the whole portfolio of emotions that we all can have as a human. But thanksgiving is one of the biggest. In First Chronicles, we're told, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. In Hebrews, it says, let us be thankful and worship God. In Philippians, for example, it says, rejoice in the Lord, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, by thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace that passes all understanding, it says, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is just a sampling of many scriptures throughout the Bible in which we are called to be in an attitude of thanksgiving towards God, towards one another, and to put it into action. But there's, like many scriptures, there's more than meets the eye in this passage, and I think it often tells us some very important things about the nature of Jesus, because many times as a pastor, I get caught up in what does this say about me or the world, etc. Scripture is ultimately about God and what God is doing in our world. And so I always try to look for that in the scripture as well. First, that Jesus passed through an area that was off limits to the religious faithful would have been a very powerful reminder to Luke's Christians that God's love has no limits. That wherever your home is, wherever you find your place in community, God meets us, each one of us, where we are. God has given us unique talents and abilities, as we have seen this weekend, everyone pulling together to do something great for our community, and fellowship and joy and blessing happens, no matter if we are, like Bruce said, same or different. Jesus was not afraid to have an encounter with somebody that he wasn't supposed to touch on his way to Jerusalem, and this was a very powerful statement in his day. Jesus did not shy away from entering an unclean territory. And this was a powerful statement. And the fact that a Samaritan, who was a nationality that was shunned by the religious faithful, came back and offered praise and gratitude, this is a message that should not be lost on us in this passage. God cannot be limited. And not only that, Jesus loves to work in the places of our lives that are well off the beaten path. Where we may find ourselves, you know, physically or otherwise in a desert or a wilderness, or not yet, things are not yet complete. You see, there's a metaphor in all of this. So I ask, what wilderness do you find yourself in right now? What valleys or deserts or uncertainties do you kind of dwell in right now? Maybe you feel perfectly at home, and like you would be fine if whatever situation you're in lasted forever. Great. I envy that. But maybe your home, as Amanda read to the kids today, maybe your home is temporary. Maybe you are struggling in different ways or trying to find your niche or trying to make a decision or just kind of dwelling in the fuzzy, I guess. Theological term there. If you're dwelling in the fuzzy, just know that whatever wilderness you find yourself in, we, like Luke's original audience, can be assured that God loves to heal in situations like this. In the midst of not only when you feel at home and everything is going well, but this just shows that God heals in the in-between places, in the Samarias, in the wildernesses, in the deserts. And you look throughout Scripture, and it was more often than not, it was not when everything was hunky-dory. It was God healed, and God worked, and God met, and God's people healed and worked and met in places that were imperfect, or really, as it shows, in places that were, like Samaria, kind of quite sketchy. So the witness of Scripture is very clear that, you know, the believers aren't immune to physical suffering and death. Each of us can attest to this. The wilderness that you are in right now, if you are, is not because God is punishing you or that God is absent or you're not faithful enough. I want you to know that. And it really, at least in our church, it seems like, and I say this almost every Sunday, it seems like everybody is dealing with something. Everybody has their load. Everybody has your own wilderness or your own struggle, your own Samaria. And this is where God loves to work. And so the wilderness that you may be in right now, just know that God isn't punishing you. Suffering happens because there's evil in the world. And there's evil. There's been evil and injustice in this world ever since the fall of creation. God created the world. It was beautiful. It was the way it was intended. Everybody was in harmony. And then sin entered in. And it's been backwards ever since. But God loves to work. And this is why we have God. And, you know, I think sometimes, disaster happens because of sin or its consequences. But also, things just like natural disaster. Things just happen in this broken world. But the Scripture is clear that it's in this broken world, it's in the wildernesses of our lives that God's healing hands are at work. And healing isn't just delegated to the physical realm. Healing happens in our souls. Healing happens in relationships and when communities come together. I saw a lot of joy. I mean, if you watch the news and you read the news, it sounds really bad, and sometimes it is. But in our community, there's joy, and there's blessing, and there is people coming together, eating and drinking in fellowship yesterday. It was, well, really, it seemed like the kingdom of God. People were eating and feasting and celebrating and coming together and laughing, and everyone is wonderfully tired. That's great. I just always challenge people that when you are with people that you love and your stomach is full and your heart is full, that's the kingdom of God. That's a glimpse of heaven on earth. And Jesus, who walked through the wilderness places where it was not heaven at all, where it was not perfect at all, Jesus walked through that place and offered healing, not only physical, but more. And I think the challenge for us as believers, as Christians, is to take those healing hands into the world and to be an agent of God in this place. Things are dropping. If only the flies would drop. Well, so nine of the people were healed physically, but the Samaritan was healed physically and emotionally and everything. His faith made him well. One of the commentaries I read this week pointed out that each of the lepers they played a part in their healing. You see, it was Jesus all the way. But the 10 men who sought healing were among only three characters in Luke who called Jesus by name. And not only that, they called Jesus Master, which was a title that only his disciples gave him, meaning they didn't know Jesus personally, but they knew enough about him to know that he brought healing, and his way was the way to life. And so despite that they didn't know him, you know, all that they knew is that he could bring some healing. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we don't have God and Jesus figured out, far from it, but we know enough about God's work in our lives and in our community to know that God is at work. God is healing. God wants the best for us. God wants the best for our community. God wants the best for our families, our churches, and our home. And I just think that there's an element of us as Christians that once we see the blessings that we have, we're called to put them into action and be co-agents with God in the world. And I think we saw a lot of it this weekend. We see a lot in our community. There's a lot to be thankful for here in Plattsburgh and in Clinton County. There's a lot that we're working toward. And some of it may not be, you know, it may not be overtly Christian or from our faith, but our faith drives us to make our home a better place. Our faith calls us, beckons us to share the love of Christ and the blessings that we've seen with not only ourselves, but with those around us. It's about the bigger picture. And so I just encourage you to find the places or to know in your lives where there is a wilderness or a desert and to see how God has worked. And let's do what we can to reach those who also find themselves in a desert or a wilderness place. Because as we share the gifts that God has bestowed upon us, upon our neighbor, like I said, we become co-agents with God. We act with God. And when we do the work of healing and reconciliation and transformation, gosh, that's what our world so desperately needs. And when we do these things, we find Christ and the world does, and we see glimpses of heaven on earth. I think like what we saw this weekend when we all came together, that's contagious. And so that's my prayer and that's my hope for us as believers and for our community. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this place that we call home. We thank you that you reach us no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. Thank you that you love us and Plattsburgh and this community where other people haven't even heard about it. You come to us and we see your blessing. God, help us to put our blessing into action that the world may know of your gracious love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.